this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? Hello, darkness, my old friend. Back again, sir. Just when they thought I was in or out, they brought you back in. And United, just when they gave you some hope, just when we thought we'd have a cup competition, a winnable cup competition, that we could go on a run in. Penalties. We're losing penalties. Dino didn't save us like I had hoped he would in Gdansk. But either way, the boys, they had every chance to win this game in 90. They had every chance to win this game in the first 45. Let's be honest. It should have been 6-7-1. And then there's the handball, sir, like playing basketball on the court. Never see anything like that. Find out they slip it during penalties. That guy's dad used to run the FA. So, yeah, I'll leave that there. But anyway, gutless. I mean, you got to get the win there. Penalties, it just makes it even worse. I'd rather just lose an extra time. But I'm sure Manchester United fans everywhere are feeling pretty bad today, headed into the weekend. How you doing, sir?
Sir, you know what? It's the hope that's going to kill you
as a
Manchester United fan. I mean, that's the toughest part. You hope that these lads have some fight. You hope they realize what they're playing for here. Seems like a lot of distractions around this team this season. You know, we had Ole leaves, Reina comes in, he's interim. Board doesn't want to bring in any players. We'll wait to the next manager. So then you have all these players hanging around who want to leave. It just doesn't seem like a recipe for winning. And obviously we're seeing it on the pitch. We can't even beat Middlesbrough. And it's tough to watch, but you have to ask difficult questions in these tough times. I mean, everyone wants to flip out and yell and complain and go crazy. You got to take this for what it is. I mean, the board is literally punted on this squad. This is like, This is it. We'll just hire a new coach and rebuild it from there. And that is what you get when you take that attitude in a world-class footballing organization. You see the badge, sir. You know what that means to you and me. We've been following this team for almost 20 years. And that's why we have the hope. That's why we bring the hope. That's why we hope that these players know what it means to play for this club. They know the history of this club. This weekend is huge as well in the history of this club, sir. And seriously, these players should be steeped in that history, that rich history of this team. And I don't think they are. I think they're on Instagram. Because this cup competition meant everything to this fan base based on all the bullshit that we've watched, all the crap we've seen in the press, all the whinging and all this bullshit. It's like the least they could do is go out there and fight for a winnable trophy, and they can't even do that. And I didn't even care when it went to penalties, sir. It was a foregone conclusion when I saw a piss-poor effort and extra time from this squad that we would lay down and die. And boy, did the man who's really good at penalties, Dean Henderson, step up and just let 8 go by him. So you know what? That's where we are as Manchester United. That is who we are at Manchester United at the moment, and we can only hope and wish that this rebuild will come and this manager will come save us. But sir, like I said, we've seen this movie before, and I think we saw this movie in Gdansk, seen it a few times, and this Glazer ownership, you know, it's going to kill that hope that we have.
I think they have for many fans. I know they've certainly destroyed my confidence in their ability to execute, but you know, I wanted to talk about not so much about the performance, because we should have won this game. We blew it. Yeah, welcome to Manchester United. Soft goal. Ridiculous, absurd goal. But that being said, you got to score. We had 20 chances to score. Should have scored at least 5 goals and score 1 goal. So there's no excuse for that. But at the end of the day, the team is being mismanaged by really negligent owners. And you saw it loud and clear with the January transfer window. And it didn't become abundantly clear until we had to play 120 minutes of football. And I know why Juan Mata's coming on the field, because he's good at penalties and he wasn't bad. But I think when you start looking at the bench and the players that were shipped, and then you have two players that are like, fuck it, I'm good. Lingard's like, I'm good. Cavani's like, I'm good. I'm hanging out in Uruguay for a couple extra days. That shit, you know, it trickles down from the top, sir. And like, I don't think this club is taken seriously by the public, you know, outside of Manchester United. Our fans love it, but like, we're not taking it seriously in global football anymore. I think internally, some of the players are like having a laugh, because when you're mismanaged by like numpties, and they're just numpties, sir. Like, there's no credit to be given. It's just sad, because there's so much potential of this club. There is so much greatness here, but I think like the bench today and who was available, and then also like how the players that were handled vis-a-vis loans, right? Not getting rid of Lingard, and then he's like, oh, I'm good. Like, that could happen, right? Cavani, doubling down with him. We love Cavani, but like, he has been known to do these things before, where he just like, I'm staying an extra couple of days. And Man City ain't putting up with that shit, bro. Liverpool probably, I don't think Crazy Klopp is putting up with that shit. And I like that Ralph ain't putting up with that shit, bro. He called it out to Lingard. Lingard's like, oh, I didn't say that. Like, the same thing Martial did. And that's what we need. But like, the people that need it most, my man, are the board. And like, as soon as he starts pointing the finger at them, which he's going to do inevitably, because they're already fucking it up. Dude, he's going to be bounced. And then it's going to be time for the potch, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
I mean, you talk about them being nunties, like they're even doing anything. And they're not really doing anything. I think that's really the problem. You look at Rangnick, and as we talked about it at length on the pod, why make him an interim manager?
Right.
He's like a substitute teacher, sir. You went to school. We went to public school in New Jersey. Substitute teacher comes in. Everyone's totally not paying attention.
Day
Nobody
off.
Cares.
Yeah, that's true.
That is what is happening in this team right now. We're seeing it before our eyes. International break, we finished strong against West Ham. This match, strong lineup. Should have won, obviously. But, you know, there's a lot of themes around here. I like Rangnick. I think he's doing a good job. I just think he should have been the permanent manager. We probably should have made a positive move on the midfield. Martial, hey, he doesn't want to be here. Fine, let him leave. And then Donnie, he's got to stay. Look at these games.
No, it's crazy.
We got coming up. No, so many games, and we're actually light on players now.
I know. That's what I was saying. We loaded up these players, and I never went to this conclusion until you said it last time, John. It was that they just did it to move wages. And, like, you know what? They might, you know, some of those players, Lingard, that'd be one to move wages. But, like, why do they stop at Lingard? But let Donny van de Beek, who, you know what, like, might come of use. And also Eric Bailly's injured again, bro. Came back from international break, injured again. And Twan Zabi is on loan. And we have Phil Jones, who is okay today. But, like, I think you should be going to the future and playing a player who's 24 and not 30. And should hopefully be on the way up. But it trickles down. And I think until the club is owned by a different family or a different ownership group, we're going to continue to suffer. You see it on the field. I mean, you can't make excuses. We should have won today, but end of the day, this is like Glazer out. Always Glazer out.
Of course it's Glazer out. This is like, might as well rename it the hashtag Glazer out pod. I mean, like, Jesus Christ. The real issue is you're kind of seeing the NFL ownership perspective, right? Which is like, you kind of write off a season, then you get another coach, you get another GM. Right. Richard Arnold, kind of like the GM, obviously the director of football should be that. But, you know, Murtaugh is obviously a yes man to Richard Arnold. Richard Arnold gets to pick his coach. Then Richard Arnold and the coach and the yes man Murtaugh will then go by their players, and then we'll kind of restart from there. So what we're seeing is sort of like a board that has sort of given up. They're like, how much money can we save? Let's use January to sell players, get wages off the books so we can save cash. And then we'll rebuild anew next year. So this season's fucked. Next year is most likely going to be fucked. And then the coach will probably, hopefully, will give him 3 years. And then we might be seeing some semblance of a team, you know, in a while from now, honestly, because you're going to have to clear out all the dead wood. You're going to have to bring in new players. It's got to be a whole rebuild in this squad, top to bottom. Obviously, you would like to include a world-class director of football in that. We won't get that. So all the money is on Richard Arnold, and then you just got to pray the Glazers sell the club. And that's kind of where, you know, this loss it's not an overreaction loss. This is just sort of a, this team can't be successful under these conditions. It's admitting to yourself, you look at that roster out there and you're like, those players are better than Middlesbrough. But those players in these conditions with this substitute teacher, who is a really good substitute teacher, by the way, it's a recipe for disaster. It's like an organization. You can't win things if you're in limbo. And we're in limbo right now. There's no leadership top to bottom in this club. There's no, like you said, the Cavani thing, the Lingard thing, the Martial thing even before with Rangnick having to correct the record and all this stuff that's going on behind the scenes. It just smells bad. The whole stuff in the press, the dirty laundry. Someone's got to get a hold of this team, get a hold of this club. This is a critical moment for Manchester United. I would like to think it goes up from here, but that's where the hope will kill you. Because I hope me and Alex, we're big fans of this team.
Can you tell?
We're going in May. And by the way, the weekend that we're going is the Chelsea match. And, oh, by the way, the FA Cup final is that Saturday. And, oh, by the way, we were hoping we would make it to the FA Cup final. And win the FA Cup final, we could go to the FA Cup final. So me and Alex are watching this game at the home, hoping that we're gonna Manchester United is going to go to Wembley and we're going to get to watch them in May. Like, we have the plane tickets. We are going.
Sir,
are
my like, wife literally... was like, why are you so fired up? She's like, why are you particularly fired up in this game? And I was like, God damn it, don't worry about it.
And, like, you think about our team and you think about the FA Cup, and this is the perfect trophy for us to make a run and win. We have a good coach. We have good players. But, like I said, these circumstances around this club make it almost impossible. And then that's why you see this spectacular catastrophe unfold before your eyes. Yes, there's people to blame, but you know that whinging, how many times have we seen this movie? Chances can't convert, you know, bad opposition comes to our house, beats us, like we lay down, roll over, like, you know, it's just
so United can make two quick moves.
It runs deep, bro.
No, your thing about the interim is completely spot on, because it sends a wrong message, right? It's like, well, I don't have to buy in 100% because this guy will probably be gone, even though, like, why not? He's not a bad person to steward the club for the next year and a half. He's done it elsewhere. I lost my point, sir, but the problem is like, we're in trouble. We're in trouble that I don't see getting fixed unless we get sold. And, you know, poor performance almost motivates them to sell more than, like, us being successful and then them just being able to cash out and take money off the table, right? Because this isn't the NFL. They can't just tank the season and get a top draft pick. They have to worry about Champions League money. So,
top wages in Europe right here. Manchester United, highest wage bill of any club. I mean, like, the highest wage bill in the English Premier League, paying for that, right? And that just shows you incompetence in the organization, right? You're overpaying for what you're getting. And you look at how much we're overpaying to our noisy neighbors, Man City, who've probably already locked up another Premier League title. That's called smart people. You know what I'm saying? The amount of money, we've spent the same amount of money on transfers, maybe a little less, depending on the time frame you want to add it up. We're like, we both spent a billion.
Close.
We both spent a billion. And oh, by the way, we're paying our players more and we're awful. And that's why you need to blow it all up. This is like a moment in time where, fine, the league didn't go your way, whatever. The manager had to be fired, but you should be able to get performances in these competitions against Middlesbrough. And these types of, this isn't just sort of a, hey, we're playing well, and this is a shocking defeat. This is we're all over the place. The club's all over the place, and we got to stop the bleeding somewhere. So it's not all doom and gloom, but this is a moment to take pause of how this club is being run and to understand that those dynamics contribute to the performances on the pitch. And we're not an elite organization, and you know, last decade of Ed Woodward, you saw Ed Woodward's fingerprints on this team. You saw Phil Jones in there, right? You saw Juan Mata coming on.
Crazy.
I mean, that's Ed Woodward. The ghost of Ed Woodward is right there. Twan Zabi's not on the field, right? These are things that it's honestly a tragedy. And when you think of the weekend and then remembering the Munich air disaster, it really is sad. Where we are right now. But, sir, we never give up on this team, and we'll always back them. Sir, hell, I'm a New York Giants fan. You know, you could be worse. Manchester United could be worse. We could be getting relegated. But the whole idea of, like, the players really wanting to give the fans something they deserve, the silverware, and this is an opportunity. And again, we squandered it. We squandered it last season as well. And I think this team is far from the Manchester United I know and remember.
We've fallen a far way because of the Glazers every step of the way, every mistake they made. And they're not going to get the same benefit that you get in the NFL, right? So they are not going to be able to just ride it out like they did, owning Tampa for as long as they did, not winning shit, and pissing off people down in Florida while they were winning nothing and competing for nothing until they decided to. So until they get real, which they really never will, because even when they feign getting real, pretend they get real, give off the impression of getting real, it's like it's still run by idiots. So they spend money, like you said, they spend the same amount of money as City effectively over the last 15 years, but we've just pissed it away left, right, and center. Paul Pogba's about to leave for free after signing for 90 million fucking pounds. So it's like that's all you got to do. Put on Ed Woodward's CV right there. The thing I forgot, sir, is he could make – two things could be done immediately that would probably have a big impact for the rest of the season. One is what you're alluding to. Make Ralph at least a permanent manager for like the next year and a half. I mean, that just seems sensible to me, unless like you have 10.
It's not going to happen.
No, I know it's not.
They're already looking. The manager's rumors are already there. Posh, so that's bro. Just not happening.
I know. But the second thing, this is more a Ralph thing. I think making Maguire not the captain. I think like the lack of what we saw today was Maguire being captain. He was not good. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good, and he wasn't the captain performance, like, toeing the line like we need. And I think, like, those two changes, one on the board, one by Ralph, would make a big impact.
Sir, I got a quick PSA for the podcast for you. I mean, you know, me and Alex would be having this discussion, even if we had a pod or not. And that's what we are. We're two biased fans on the couch. We love this club, sir. We were betting on them and going to the FA Cup final, and boy, did they blow it. Every day. The Jinx pod, we book our flights. Manchester United bounced out of the FA Cup. That's how we do. But if you like the American Red Devils and you want to get involved in our community, you should check out our Discord channel. We have an amazing community there. We have different text channels. Everyone's talking about match day, et cetera, even a U.S. Men's National Team thread. Please check out our Discord. You can click on a link on our Twitter profile. We tweet out invites all the time. If you need to get one, you can email us, americanreddevils@gmail.com. Please join our Discord. It's a great way to join this amazing community we created. An awesome place, sir. Also, if you want to support us, go the extra mile. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/americanreddevils. We don't have any sponsors on this podcast. It's just me and Alex talking about the club we love, sir. Some days it's easier than others, if you know what I'm saying. Big shout out to Joachim Vetris for joining, becoming a Patreon member, and Dave Briscoe upgrading his Patreon membership. You guys are the real MVPs. You keep this thing ticking. We couldn't do it without you. And we want to keep that grassroots for fans, by fans ethic on this podcast. Check out our blog as well, www.americadevils.com. We have a great store with merchandise, hoodies, stickers, scarves, even pins, great pins that we get made in the UK, sir. Everything is top-notch on there. Also, our new shirts. Grab something. Everything you buy goes to support the podcast. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or a 5-star review wherever you listen to the pod is a great way to support it. And we're giving away free merch if you send in a screenshot. All you have to do, write that 5-star review. If it has cheeky banter, even better. We love that. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devils merch straight to your door. Great way to support the pod, and it's absolutely free. We're still doing it. Sir, United's finishing was abysmal in this match, but wasn't as abysmal as whoever that American is on ESPN Plus commenting that game. That was brutal. I thought Arlo was bad.
The ESPN FC crew, you know.
Who's the guy in the studio that just like despises United? No, who's the Burley or Burnley? He's like Burnley. He hates United. He hates them with a passion. It's so obvious. It's so funny.
Hey, you said it was you know what's funny is you get NBC and then you're like you go to the ESPN and you're like, "Oh my god." I mean like like honestly, like it's we true. Would like you and me would maybe be better commenting because like the problem with the commenters from the United States is they don't listen to the UK commentary. I grew up on that. I love the UK comment, the seriousness, like it's just so much better, the style. And then they try to bring that like soccer style to it, and it doesn't work, man. It's just so I like Telemundo all day for me, but we can go on about broadcasters. Just give us the UK feed. Let's get into that lineup, sir. I would like to even just skip this game.
Just go. Make it quick, sir. It's like Villarreal, like bro. I know, bro. At least we scored. At least we scored a goal.
You got like Coors Banquet Original, which is like the Europa League, and then you got the Coors
Butt Ice, bro. There's like a Butt Ice this game.
This is like the Keystone Ice from college, sir. This is like the,
let's go.
This is a Europa League final light here.
This is a better 11 than started the. This is a better 11 than the one that started the Europa League final minus De Gea, because we didn't have Ronaldo, bro. We didn't have Maguire and Varane. Like that is a hell of a lineup.
This is hard to do.
Like, just go make it quick, sir. Just up there. The lineup. Dino and Nat. My favorite number two.
I don't know if we can do this.
So keep it together. We got Dalot, Varane, Maguire, Shaw. It looks like a 4-3-3. McTominay, Bruno, Pogba in the midfield. Rashford in the left wing. Ronaldo up front. Who else? Sancho. John, my man. How are you feeling when you saw this lineup? Pretty confident. Got to be good enough to beat Middlesbrough, as we like to say on the pod.
So we've done this over 350 podcasts, and I think I've hit my limit.
You crack. I can just go through it, sorry. You can take a 5-minute break.
There's
a lot of chances. Ready? United come out, dominate.
First half. Sancho hits the bar.
Second minute. That was the second minute, by the way, hit the bar.
It's like... Oh, I'm sorry to all American Redellas fans, but you have to.
You have to laugh.
I feel like I'm in, you know, like what they say, purgatory, where like nothing changes. You know, there's like something's happening. Nothing changes. We're just like, it's just like this is the same thing over and over. And I just like it's like Looney. It's like even it's just the Looney Tunes at Manchester United. We become a parody of ourselves.
I know.
And here's the thing. Manchester United has been a joke for a long while. You know when everyone's like kind of laughing at you and you still have confidence, you're like, oh, they don't know how good we are. And then eventually you crack and you're like, oh, no. And like, I think that's where I'm at. Where like everyone's been laughing at United for a while now. And now I'm realizing like,
The joke's on us.
Look at them. They brought Ronaldo back. Ah, ha, ha. Look at this guy. Oh, you think Bruno's really good?
Oh, you thought Rashford was going to be really good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodbye on Sancho. You did great there. Oh, Maguire, he's great. You overpaid for him. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, keep going. It's like unbelievable. It's just like that's the state of this club right now. 6 minute here. Apologies. This is a hard one. Ronaldo with the bicycle kick, you know, and then, you know, a few things happened. And, sir, you want to get to the goal?
I'm 20th minute. Ronaldo missed a pen. Pogba drew a good pen, got a pen. That's important. Right after that, Bruno Scott.
Dude, Ronaldo, you had a touch on Ronaldo. Awful. His finishing
was terrible, bro. Because United played well, bro. But, like, up front, he was awful. He had to score a pen. Yeah, I mean, you have to score the pen, which he missed, and that set the tone. But in the 25th minute, Jadon Sancho gets his goal. Let's see it, sir.
Bruno Fernandes. Sancho. And Sancho has found a way. Manchester United have a 25th-minute lead. Just the third time.
All right. There was so much hope at this point. There was so much hope because United was playing well. They got the goal, sir. We were feeling pretty high at this point. I have to see how you
should have been 3-0.
I know. By the end of the first half, we should have been 3-0 up. But give me your thoughts, sir. How are you feeling after Sancho finally gets a goal?
Look, the Ronaldo penalty, that one, it was rough. And then Sancho gets the goal right after. You're like, all right. Like, let's go, boys. And also, like, a good goal from Sancho. It's like, and I think he needs it, right? And this is the whole thing where we're just a few goals away, a few good bounces away from this team gaining confidence. And I think that's the hardest part about watching this loss is more of, like, you saw how it could have gone and totally. How much this group of players needs it because there's nothing else they can hold on to. Like, I was talking about all these dynamics it's got to be really hard to be in that dressing room. But if you just kind of put it together and you start winning, then you kind of build that bond as a team and you can build that momentum. And then you start having leadership in the locker room, like Ronaldo sliding that penalty and then Sancho getting his goal. And then, like, you know, bringing the squad together. I feel like we have a team of individuals and it's so critical for us to kind of get these results to like build something here. And so that Sancho goal was huge. And I thought we were going to kick on, but, you know, 29th minute, Ronaldo, another chance just wide. Rashford scored, but his offside start again. I thought this was kind of the floodgates breaking. Unfortunately, you know, it wouldn't be. 33rd minute, Ronaldo, another great chance saved. Ronaldo had a lot of opportunities, sir. He's got to ask the Monstars for his mojo back. And then 45th minute.
You like this? I noticed this before you tweeted it.
No food or beverage served because of technical problems. State of the club. This is how an organization is run. I don't think I've ever heard anything as outlandish as this in professional sports. Never heard of this. This is Manchester United. This is how this team is run. This is how Ed Woodward ran the team. The like payment system's probably down. The food's there. People just can't buy it. So then why don't you just give it away,
bro? Because they're cheap as shit. And then maybe
it's going to go bad.
That's even worse. That's even worse. But this is the biggest domestic stadium in the fucking country. This is one of the biggest clubs in the world. And they don't have food. I mean, this is just like speaks to the mismanagement. It trickles all the way down, unfortunately, to the very bottom. And it's because of the lack of investment, lack of direction, lack of leadership. And that's just, first of all, the food and drink at Old Trafford suck. Suck.
Yeah, I was going to say, first
sucks.
Of all,
like, it sucks anyway.
You ate, like, how many pies at Brighton? You ate three pies at the Amex Stadium, right?
Sir, one pie and three cups of gravy was it.
Three pies. You like Brighton's food. That's the thing.
Not three pies. We could have used three goals today. But the point of the matter is like they should have good food. Why not have good food? I know it's an old stadium, but like the food is crap and the beer is room temperature. It's not even cold. It's bad. Rather like a room
food
temperature
at stadiums is, first of all, food at stadiums is generally overrated. Like even like New Yankee Stadium in New York, it's like everyone raves about the food, but you get it. It's just kind of stadium food. Stadium food's just like not going to be that good. But I would eat at New Yankee Stadium all day. But you know what I'm saying? Like you
they
go
got
there.
Sushi
like,
at Yankee Stadium, bro.
Yeah, but it's not good sushi. It's
no,
not
but
like,
it's better
know,
than the pies like, at Old Trafford.
I the food at Old Trafford is horrific. The dark ales. I mean,
the dark ales aren't good either.
Really
the problem is the dark ales
they
aren't good either.
They do the job. They do the job. So let's get into that second half.
We're just spicy. We're just spicy because we wanted to win so badly. We wanted to go to the FA Cup final. And
so
now
we
have to root
the
for
face
the
by a 2x4, bro. We got lost in the penalties to Middlesbrough.
I'm aware.
Like they're not an EPL
I had to watch
team.
2 hours of football. Us miss chance after chance after second half. Not as dominant from United, but we did have our chances. Speaking of which, 54th minute, Sancho put in a great ball for Rashford. He blasted it just over. And this is it. This is like, you got to get this goal. Second half, be like, yo, dude, let's ice this shit. And this was so bad because that has to be a goal. Anyway, it
does.
55 minutes, a lot of it has to be a goal. 55th minute, Ronaldo goes inches wide. And then the 64th minute, sir, Harlem Globetrotter basketball here from the Borough side.
He's had the ball. It's in towards Watmore. Did it hit a hand? It's Crooks who follows it in. Matt Crooks, the lifelong Manchester.
I mean, the guy's dad was the former head of the FA. They looked at it, but I could not believe. I was like, oh, they have no VAR. I was like, oh, no, they do have VAR if you're at a Premier League stadium. And they looked at it, and they didn't overturn it. And, like, the audio doesn't do it justice, but it basically, he had a heavy touch. It bounced right off his hand and down to his foot so he could control it. And if that ain't a handball, then this ain't football.
Well, sir, I got the IFAB handball laws here in front of me. You know, I'm going, like, straight to the rule book on this one because, obviously, like, Taylor Twellman on the TV like literally has no idea what he's talking
moron.
About. Like
absolute
he actually
moron.
Does. He actually doesn't know this rule and hasn't read this rule. All he has is he's read an article about the changes to the rule, which says if an accidental handball happens in the buildup to a goal, that's the new changes. Then it shouldn't be called, and therefore it would be a goal. So all he was saying, like, hey, I'm really smart. There's this rule change, and they're implementing it here. See? Actually, Taylor.
Yeah, he did do that. He did do, like, see?
See? I'm Taylor Twelman. I know what I'm talking about. Let's look at the definition of an accidental handball. So anyone else watching the game would think an accidental handball is just accident, right? Hey, it's an accident.
Yeah, it's accident.
But if you look at the IFAB handball rules, it is a handball following the clarification of the accidental handball. It is a handball offense if a player deliberately touches the ball with their hand or arm. For example, moving the hand and arm towards the ball. If you watch the replay, his arm is A, in an unnatural position, and B, moving towards the ball as it hits the ball. His hand is moving towards the ball as it hits the ball.
God, there's no argument.
Here's the rule.
There's no argument.
It's right here.
There's no argument.
It is right here.
It's the most clear handball I've ever seen.
The movement. Nobody's talked about the movement. Watch it again. His arm is moving towards the ball, makes contact, and then brings it into his path where he's then able to get the assist. The definition of accidental handball is here. You can Google it. These are the rules. It's black and white. Moving the hand towards the ball is a handball by the definition. Therefore, it is not accidental. Therefore, it's a handball. So I'm just trying to bring it to the rules because you see the fake smart guy on TV try to tell you what the rules are, and he actually doesn't know what they are.
He's
so
ever, no one, he's not the fake smart guy. He's the fake dumb guy because in the end of the freaking first half, he goes, I really like how Burrow has showed up and really not just sat back and gone for it. They had zero shots on target at that point. Had fucking 20% possession. I don't even think he knows what he's talking about. Anyway, the point
but
is, you're right. It's a handball. But the point
so
is,
I'm giving you one more. I'll give you one more.
I know, but
you
wanna,
sir, you have to hear me out. This is the second part of the rule.
Let's hear it.
Second part of the rule here. This is another to further clarify what's accidental. If the player touches the ball at the hand or arm when they've made their body unnaturally bigger,
that's the main part.
It's a handball.
That's the main. The main part is this.
It's a handball.
It's so the unnatural position.
And it was moving, dude. And it was moving. It's both definitions of what is not accidental, and those override the accidental ruling. Therefore, it's a handball. The whole point is that the people on the fucking TV don't know the rules, and they're saying the opposite of what is true. It's unbelievable.
But even Craig Burley, who I think is the absolute biggest numpty, I mean, he knows more than the American, whose name I don't want to worth knowing. He was like, that's the most biggest penalty I've ever seen. The point is, like, if you have VAR and you're looking at that and you don't call it, and you've watched soccer, growing up watching soccer, I'm calling it soccer because of Thielman, whatever his name is. You can't look at that, even as the guys who are in the VAR. Like, how are you not calling that? And the thing that got me is, like, FA is kind of shady, and this is kind of a shady FA call, like the Sun, but they also love the underdog story. They love the Burrow knocking out United. This is an egregious call.
No,
this is like VAR cannot exist.
This is not a conspiracy. Like,
this
is absurd. I understand you're going full X.
I'm going full Muppet. That was too much.
Obviously, you can hear the temperature on this pot. Like, the blood pressure is increasing. I need another dose from my doctor here. First of all, you know, it's obviously, handball here. But whatever, dude. It's like Manchester United playing a chance to win, right? So it's like we can go crazy about this all we want.
You got it out. You got it out, sir.
It's just one of those things where Drogba was offsides. We lost the league. Which one's worse? Probably that Drogba offsides call, honestly. I mean, this is – but with the NFL, so NFL implemented replay. 5 years down the line, nobody knows what a catch is anymore. And then everyone's like analyzing on replay, slow motion, like the ball being caught, and nobody knows what the fuck anything is anymore. And now this is what's happening. I said it's going to come with replay in soccer. They're not going to be able to know what a handball is. Handball is like the catch. Handball is the same thing as the catch because they're looking at a slow motion and then they look at these definitions and they can't really fucking figure. Because, like, remember before replay, a catch was very simple to call.
I know,
replay. But then you add replay and all these rules, and then like people will try to overthink it, and that's the whole point. Where the NFL figured it out, like, dude, the whole analyzing a catch thing is just like killing the game. Nobody wants to see that, And so it's like, hey, man, if it looks like a handball, it's fucking handball. That's how it is. If it looks like a catch, it's a catch. It's like, keep playing.
Keep it simple. And that's the same thing.
Exactly. Don't overanalyze it.
So I watched NFL for the last couple of weeks for the first time in many years, and it's like you can tell that they actually got rid of that. They've been conscientious about it, and they've gotten rid of it, and the game just plays, and it's – my timeouts are my biggest complaint, but the game's exciting again. They don't fucking slow it down for no reason, and it's like this is so clear. We have to move on. Otherwise, I'm going to have to start bust out the whinging button. But it just – it makes it egregious. It makes it, like, silly. You're like, what? You know, because it literally – he had a freaking my touch, dude, like a fat guy touch – bounced off his hand. He scooped it over, and he celebrated like he knew it was getting overturned, by the way. The guy who scored, to him, but the guy who did the assist was like, this is definitely getting overturned. Even apparently, like, the manager.
Yeah, but, dude, we sound like, I know. We got to keep this going. This is whinging.
Your lips are moving, and you're complaining about something. Whinging hard. That's whinging.
All right, here we go. Bruno.
This game got, hey, look, all American Red Devil fans listening, if you're listening to this podcast, you guys are the real MVPs. I mean, this one hurt. You know, for whatever reason, this one just, I think it's because of, like, it's just like.
We just lost the penalties to Villarreal.
I know. So it's because of Villarreal. That's why it hurts so much, is because of Villarreal. That's right. And they're worse. So Villarreal is in the first division.
And we were much better. We were objectively better in this game. In Villarreal, if you remember correctly, we created fuck all. Only did nothing, sat in his hands the whole game. We created a shit ton. We just didn't take our chances and fucking, like, collapsed like limp potatoes.
Okay,
like
let's just get through the rest of it.
72nd minute. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, we don't need to go through all the details. Let's just say double sub.
Hit the post. Bruno hit the post right after this. That's a big moment that we have to talk about. He hits the post, robbed the defender, edge of the box. Goalie's coming out, hits the poster. That was when I was like, this is going to penalties and we're going to fucking lose.
It's not our day, dude. Sometimes it's not your day. And like today wasn't our day, but it's like sometimes you're playing well as a team and then sometimes not your day. And sometimes you're dying for a win against Middlesbrough and it's not your day. And that's a sad day. And that was what it was. 82nd minute double sub, Fred Nalonga for Pogba and Rashford. I think it made sense. Pogba, first game back, he's playing a lot of minutes. 89th minute, Fred put in a great ball, but Alonga's header was off right at the keeper, sir. This one, great opportunity. Great ball by Fred as well. He did well coming on. 92nd minute, Alonga with even better chance. I think this is the one I was referring to in 92nd minute. The scoop ball from Fred off the touchline, heads it right at the keeper.
But he also had one like 3 minutes earlier that was like a really good chance as well. Also from Fred, like the same, his new patented Fred scoop ball, which I'm all about. But this is where you're like, hey, I could have used Eddie, give it to Eddie Cavani because he would have fucking dunked one of these goals. And that's where you're like, yo, I need the bench that we're paying for because that is the reason that we got rid of like Martial is because we need to make room in the wage bill for Jones and Mata and Cavani. But sir, we are whinging.
Extra time. You thought it was bad. Phil Jones comes on for Varane.
I know, yeah, Varane's hurt.
100th minute sub Mata for Sancho. Hopefully Sancho's okay. I mean, again, another reason why we're dying for players. 101st minute, Alonga barged over at the edge of the box. Ref plays on, but Ronaldo squanders the chance.
Remember that? That was fun.
107th minute, Bruno's effort tipped over the bar, but he's offsides. 115 minute, good save from Hendo here. Excellent reaction save. They could have stole it, but again, this is the type of this extra time was exactly like Villarreal. It's like you didn't even need to watch it. It was just
it's true. I definitely didn't need to watch Peds. I'll tell you what.
And Philly Jones with a shot in the 120th. Let's go into the penalties. Mata scores. I like how you're calling out the almost save from Hendo.
I'm just saying that was it. If he saved that, it's a difference.
Hey, everyone talking about him coming in to save us at Villarreal, dude. Like, there you go. Eight right by you. Obviously everyone scored. Maguire, Fred, that was nervy. Fred steps up. I'm like, what is he doing? And it's like, oh my God. Ronaldo scores, Bruno scores, McSauce, Delo, and then Alonga. Blast it over the bar. Feel bad for Alonga. No one's going to blame him at all. I don't think anyone, I haven't seen anything on social media, people blaming him. This was like a failure across the board in clinicality, sir.
That's what I was saying. Lack of physicality killed us today. Dino, shame on me. I was backing you to make a big impact in Europa League. You didn't look like it today. And Elanga had a couple big chances. You're not going to blame the youngster, but he had a couple big chances actually at the end of extra time to win it. But, dude, one of those days, it's just one of those days. I mean, the XG of this game is probably 4-1.
No, but we could have used Cavani, you know, and like that I don't care about FA Cup Friday match, jet lag, I don't want to get back for the squad mentality is what gets you this type of result.
That's
here.
Right.
Stats wise, 30 shots for United, 6 to Middlesbrough, 9 on target for United, 3 to Middlesbrough, 71% of the ball to United, 29% to Middlesbrough. I think Greg Berhalter would say we dominated this match, sir. Just kidding.
He would, though. I'm very curious how Ralph takes it, but I know how he would take it. He'd be like, we were amazing.
Sir, Manchester United missed all 7 clear-cut goal-scoring chances in 90 minutes versus Middlesbrough, the most they've ever managed in a game since we started receiving data in 2009. That's called bottling it. But you know what?
Lack of criticality right there.
I saw a lot of people tweeting that there's no hope of a trophy this year, and I'll tell everyone listening to this pod, I'll tell you that I predicted that Manchester United
last
would
one
win
left.
The Champions League this year. I said it, sir.
It's the last thing we got, bro.
And you know what? As much as I've given up hope, I'm hopeful we're going to win it, baby. Because I think we're going to need to win it to get that top four, to get that Champions League football next year. So, you know, I'm putting all my chips and going all in. I'm going all in, sir, on the Champions League title for Manchester. Wouldn't that be a great way to end the year?
Yeah,
wouldn't that just be a pick-me-up?
Are you kidding
me? Wouldn't that be a pick-me-up? Winning the Champions League? Just a little ask? Santa Claus?
A little ask, bro. It's like, I want a supermodel and a sports car.
Let's hear from the manager.
I'm gutted. Let's hear him. Ralph Rangnick, let's hear what he has to say.
What do you make of that in particular, Middlesbrough's goal and the amount of chances that you wasted?
Yeah. We gave away too many chances, especially in the first half. We should and could have been easily up 3-0 after 45 minutes. And even in the second half, we missed some great opportunities after they scored their goal that shouldn't have stood. But Bruno's chance was almost like a penalty as well. So, we have to blame ourselves for giving away and wasting too many opportunities in the game. And in the end, if it's on penalties, this is always also a question of luck. In the end, we lost that game and we are all incredibly disappointed.
Sam Lopez.
Hi, Ralph. The fans are very supportive of Anthony Elanga at the end. There's going to be a lot of concern from them over Enzo Cavani and Jesse Lingard not playing today and someone so young having to take that penalty. Does the club regret allowing Edinson to stay in Uruguay and not having Jesse available for selection?
No, because he played for Uruguay on, I think, Wednesday, and with the jet lag and the travel arrangements, I don't think it would have made sense. He would not have been in the squad anyway. With regard to Jesse, I told you what my information was and what my knowledge was. And of course, I would have loved to have Jesse in the squad. We were one field player, one outfield player less on the team sheet today. So why should I have allowed him to have 4 or 5 days off? I would have loved to have him in the squad and be in the squad. But it was not the case, and therefore it doesn't make sense to speak about players who were not available.
Sir, that was a very telling press conference from Ralph Rangnick. I wish you could have heard it, but he addressed mainly the performance. Dude, he said it wasn't good enough. He said, like, it goes to penalties, gave up too many chances, lack clinicality. I don't think he used that word. But he talked about the absences of Jesse Lingard and Eddie Cavani. And he's like, Eddie Cavani played on Wednesday and had the jet lag. Like, he wasn't going to play anyway. But he said, Lingard, I would have loved to have. But from what I was told, the way he said it was like he's being told something from, like, I don't know, maybe Murtaugh. But, like, they didn't come to him. They came to somebody else, and then he got that news. And that just kind of speaks to the mismanagement at Manchester United, you know, the things that we alluded to earlier. But I have to say, you know, Ralf Rangnick ain't the guy for the next 5 years to be the manager, but he is so refreshing. His straightforward approach, you know, like, we suck, but he is very refreshing because even when he calls out players, he doesn't do the Mourinho approach, which is like, be a fucking asshole. Like, he does it, he's straight, but he doesn't, like, he isn't a jerk. And Mourinho's like a dickhead, and he just, that always just bleeds out and eventually will go rotten because players just can't handle that. So I think right now, Ralf is exactly what we need, sir, because very disappointed in what he saw today.
Sir, you know, he's a good interim. I just think he's not given the tools to succeed. You know, I really would have liked him to be the manager. I think Manchester United were like living in 1990. You know, the problem with the board is they think hiring the manager is this huge thing because then the managers could decide all the transfers and then they don't know what the manager's going to want, yada, yada, yada. That's why you have a director of football, because you have the continuity. So the director of football knows who to sign and the manager will play how we want to play and play the style that the director of football has brought in players for. So then there's synergy from top to bottom and they can go win things. Like, that is the problem at Manchester United, is they're treating it like they're, we got to wait till we hire Strauss 2.0. So then he can do everything. And then every time we hire another manager, you got to rebuild it all. And that's why John Murtaugh, where are you at, bro? We need a midfielder. That's your job. Like, this club is, the operations are in absolute shambles because the idea that we got to wait for somebody to, like, we have to wait for a manager to figure out that we need a midfielder. That's what not, that's why you have a director of football in the first place. But thing is, things aren't all doom and gloom around Manchester United. I think fans are just waiting for Santa to bring him a trophy. I think that's what fans really are dying for, something to hold on to. And, you know, that was a tough one today, but you look at the table, the bottlers are bottling, and Manchester United are enforcer. You know, we're going to play a game against Burnley, and the table's looking pretty good. Manchester United on 38 points in fourth place. We've played 22. West Ham's played 23. They're on 37. That was a big win against them in the league. And then you have Arsenal with 21 games played on 36. So obviously they would have 39 if they won that game in hand. We would be 1 point behind them. And then Tottenham behind Arsenal on 36 with 20 games played. And obviously they would be on 42 points. And we would be 4 points behind Tottenham. Now at this point in the season, being 4 points behind Tottenham in anything is a good sign. And oh, by the way, we're playing them in March. So we have a strong set of fixtures. And we really need to be able to dust this off. But what concerns me is 120 minutes and that depth, like you talked about.
Yep.
Like, Donny van de Beek would play for this team in this set of fixtures because the congestion is just unbelievable. And we got rid of him to save money. Twan Zabi, arguably, like, we should be playing him instead of Phil Jones.
That's right. 100%, dude.
He would 100%. Play in these fixtures, and we sold him for 680 grand. And that is where you have to ask the questions about the DOF. We could have signed Zakaria for cheap. These players were offered to us. We did not sign them. And you look at that bench. And oh, by the way, Murtaugh might have told Jesse Lingard to go have fun when the manager could use a player. What is going on at this football club? So for Ralf Rangnick, he's doing a good job with what he's got.
He is.
But these decisions aren't helping him, and these decisions aren't helping the club. And oh, by the way, we're fighting for a £100 million paycheck. We're fighting for top four. But smack dab, sir, my expectations are Hans and Franz, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's where we're going to be.
Oh, definitely.
I think Hans and Franz, I predicted the Champions League. I'm not giving up on that, sir. I'm not giving up on that prediction. I'm stubborn.
I know you are. We both are stubborn. It's going to be a big one. I think I agree with you. It's not all doom and gloom. If we could turn this around and comfortably finish in fourth, but we have everything to do. And you made a good point. No matter what, you know, players, whatever, whoever the manager is, whether it's Maurizio Pochettino or Erik ten Hag or fucking Pep Guardiola, bro. It's like, if you have Richard Arnold as a CEO,
John Murtaugh as the DOF, both of which have never done those positions anywhere else before. They never neither have experience doing those jobs.
Well, they're not doing them.
And they're not they're not doing them well, and they've never done them before, so they're both doing them poorly. You're going to suffer, and we continue to suffer. And, dude, they think this is the NFL, and they can just kind of, like, punt it and rebuild in a couple seasons, get some draft picks, see how things go. But so we're in real trouble. Like, I think
If we own the club right now, it would be like we would not have a yes man in director of football. We would have the best possible candidate you could hire for the money
that we could afford
to come into Manchester United. And if you had an interim manager, first of all, I would never have an interim manager, but I would do what Aston Villa did. I'd bring in a manager and I'd sign players in January and get this thing going now, because you're going to need to sign more players in the summer, and the rebuild starts now. The urgency has to be there. This is the biggest football club in the world. What are we sitting on our hands for? It's only hurting us. It makes no sense. Nobody's doing their job, and that's because of the Glazers. But let's get into that match, sir. We got Burnley the Builders away at Turf Mordor, Tuesday, February 8th.
Night game. Pacific. Night game. Say it ain't so, sir. Turf Mordor.
Under the lights.
I know.
Sean Dyche fighting for his life. Last in the league. Last in the league. Lifetime versus Burnley. 65 games won. 23 drawn. 45 we've lost. First time we ever played them. September 1892. Newton Heath versus Burnley. We drew 1-1 in the first division. Last five, we beat them 4. We've lost 1. Burnley coming in this match. We beat him December 30th, 3-1. Leeds beat him 3-1. They lost to Huddersfield in the FA Cup, 2-1. They had a game with Leicester, but it was postponed. And then they drew Arsenal most recently.
Bottling. We know who they're going to be. You know exactly who this Burnley side is. Bunch of bastards, right? Physical as hell. They're going to pack it in. Super dangerous from set pieces.
Pope, their goalie is great.
Goalie's good.
Tarkowski is good.
Their center backs are very good. They
sold
very
their
good
striker,
team.
Though. They sold Wood. So, Burnley looks to be relegated. They really look to be relegated. It's sad. They've been sort of a staple of the Premier League for a long time. Sean Dyche has done a good job, but it looks like they're headed down. And again, let's just not make a meal of it. Manchester, we made a meal of Middlesbrough. We can't make a meal of Burnley.
Of course.
You know, I'm saying we can't. I'm saying we can't.
Of course we could.
But we will, you know. A little history about Burnley. They were founded in 1882, one of the first to become professional in 1883. And they subsequently put pressure on the FA to permit payments to players. That's really interesting. They kind of led the professional movement, and it was as late as 1882. Club entered the FA Cup for the first time in 85-86 and was one of the 12 founder members of the Football League in 88-89, a club steeped in rich history, so rich they couldn't come up with a better badge than the one they have that looks like a bunch of Legos. From the 1950s until the 70s, under Chairman Bob Lohr, the club became renowned for its youth policy and scouting system, and it was one of the first to set up a purpose-built training ground. Before that, everyone just went to the pub and drank dark ales and then kicked the ball around after that. And then they started realizing, oh, you got to run around, get in shape. And Burnley have been champions of England twice in 2021 and in 59-60. They've won the FA Cup once, 13-14. And we were battling them back then, sir. That's kind of when we won our first FA Cup and a league, sir, under the legendary John Henry Davies. They've also won the FA Charity Shield twice in 60 and 73. Teams have played their home games at Turf Mordor since 1883, sir. What a place. I'd love to go away at Turf Mordor. We might need to do that one day. And the club is nicknamed the Clarets because of their dominant color of its home shirt. The team has a longstanding rivalry with the nearby club Blackburn Rovers, with whom they contest the East Lancashire Derby. Dyche has them coming out in the 4-4-2, the old English, sir. That's how they would. Like I said, we mentioned Nick Pope in net. He's great. Tarkowski, he's sharp as a center back. They got Jay Rodriguez up front. Westwood, and Brownhill in the middle of the park, McNeil on the left and Lennon on the right. It's going to be a scrappy match. Two banks of four defending for their lives. Manchester United have to break them down. Can we break them down? Have we seen this movie before?
Probably. Probably. But here's the thing. They are the Stoke of the modern day. And I want to send their asses packing out of the Premier League. So let's give a big 3 points on the road. We need it anyway. We need to turn the tide. We have a shit ton of matches coming. And I hate Burnley. I hate playing them. I hate the players.
Why? I like Sean Dyche.
No, they're always tough to play, and they're like a dirty little shithousery team because they're hard to play, bro. I don't like playing them. Like, I actually give them respect because it's like Stoke, man. They're tough as nails. They make it always tough to break down. The home ground, especially, dude, it's going to be a night game because it's Tuesday at noon, so it'll be 8 p.m. local time. They're going to be up for it. Turf Mordor was one of the first, I think it was the first ground to have floodlights at a stadium in England. So they were a hitter in the 1880s.
As far as the injuries go, Jesse Lingard, he's having an extra vacation. You know, you got to get that mental clarity around what's going on in his life. Victor Lindelof, similar mental clarity.
No, we got a lot of mental. He's actually sick.
He's sick. Okay. I thought he was taking time.
Mental clarity.
Eddie Cavani needs to sleep. You know, get adjusted with the jet lag. Baye's injured again. Who could have thought? And then Sancho, you know, obviously he pulled up. So he's kind of a TBD there. Eric Baye, oh, by the way, Eddie injured. Woodward extended injured. Him till 2023. So thanks, Ed Woodward, for that as well. He's got his fingerprints all over this team. I'll remind you, don't worry on this podcast of all the horrible things he's done. Alex, give me your starting 11 for Burnley.
Well, hopefully Varane's available. He got subbed in the 90th minute, which I just hoped was a shrewd move by Rangnick to save the legs, right? Why have him play an extra 30? But I got De Gea net. World number one, sir. How dare I speak ill of him in Europa League final. Delo, Maguire, Varane, Shaw, McFred with cheese, Bruno and Sancho, Rashford, Ronaldo. Who you got, bud?
Sir, whoever would play.
That's it. Mata might be playing.
Sir, I'm going to say Dave saves in net. I'm going to go with Delo, Maguire. Should I say Phil Jones? No, I'm just going to. Probably. I'm just kidding.
He's going to play, dude. He's going to start some game.
He's got to play some game. I don't think you can play Varane, man. I think you got to go Philly.
I think you're right. It also is Burnley, too, right? Phil Jones is like.
I think you go Delo, Maguire, Jones, Telus. I think you do Fred, Modric, Bruno, Sancho, assuming he's healthy, Ilanga, and you got to play Rashford. Ronaldo needs a rest, you know?
That's right.
You got to play the kids up front. Maybe Cavani comes in for Sancho. You play Rashford and Ilanga alongside him. But this is rotation land, and like you said, it's going to be tight with the bench that we got and these injuries we're talking about. Booking the bookies. Burnley plus 500 to win. Oh, by the way, Middlesbrough to win was plus 800.
I know. But they, you wouldn't
draw
have,
plus
you wouldn't have gotten it. You would have gotten the draw. It was the draw, sir, because they won.
No, I know. Pens. Yeah, the win on penalties would probably have been higher.
Nah. We should always just bet the we're going to lose on penalties, sir. It'd be easy money.
And then so Manchester United favors minus 175. Sir, what's your score prediction here?
1-0, like... You know, 80th minute winner from Rashford by skin of our teeth. Because, you know, life is cruel like that. What do you got?
I got 2-1. You know, I think Burnley can score against us. I just think we're going to win. You know, I thought we'd beat Middlesbrough handily. I thought that would be an easy.
Handily.
But if you look at the XG, it was handily. You just got to put the ball in the net, unfortunately, for Manchester United, sir. You want to get into the news? United in the news, sir. We're going to talk about more money going to Glazers' pockets here.
Here we go.
Manchester United to unveil a new £20 million per year training kit sponsorship with blockchain platform Tezos, per The Athletic. The Athletic can reveal that the parties have agreed to a deal worth in excess of £20 million per year, and the club have already shot promotional materials at the club's training center ahead of an announcement. The Carrington training ground itself is not included in the agreement. genius from Ed Woodward. They're going to just chop everything up and put sponsors on everything and watch us lose. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it is, really, at the end of the day. United's previous eight-year, £120 million sponsorship contract with American insurance company Aon concluded at the end of last season, sir. You know, that Aon deal, sir, I'm not an expert. That's $15 million a year, right? And then, oh, Tezos comes in with $20 million a year. What has the inflation rate been over the last 8 years? All the numpties are going to tell you, look at how much more money Manchester United got. Well, really, I don't know about
also,
that.
Also, who
the
fuck
the
is
day.
Tezos, bro? I looked this
There's
company
a blockchain.
Up.
You know.
I know, but this is the kind of thing, like, this is just like, what's the name of the goddamn company on the front of our kit? TeamViewer. Like, TeamViewer, I can almost bet. I don't think they're going to have enough money to pay us in, like, year
six. Sir, highest bidder here. You know, AIG wasn't that great of a company, and everyone knew who they were at the end of the
day.
No,
they got
so, like,
money,
come on,
bro.
Man.
I'm not talking down blockchain. I'm not talking down crypto. I'm not going to anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I don't
better
think.
Better for Total.
No, I mean, I don't think they have a huge, like, in the same way that, like, I don't think TeamViewer has, like, this big balance sheet where they're going to be able to pay all the things they committed to every single year, because none of this was paid up front, right? This is all annual payments. My only concern is, like, are they going to be around in 3-4 years? That's my only thing. What do you think about this deal, sir?
I haven't done diligence on Tezos, but I'm sure Manchester United have, and it's legit. But I was just saying that the whole idea that you can celebrate this, like, huge. Like, I've heard other people. So first of all, the TeamViewer deal is less than the Chevrolet deal, right? So think about that. Inflation's going up, which means the deal, even if it stays the same, it should be more. And the deal went down. That is, like, damaging the club. But then the club says, oh, wait, no, we're going to sell all this other sponsorship. So actually sponsorship's going up. And this deal did go up, but not by a significant margin if you think about it. And given inflation over the last decade, it probably gets you close to even here. So this whole bragging about how these guys are commercial geniuses, it's not true. And then talking about who does Manchester United associate with is another point of view. These unknown brands. So you're just pouring yourself out to the top bidder. Like,
I mean, that's
okay,
it.
I guess that is one way to do it. That seems to be the Glazer way to do it. And it's just like, okay, but more money for the Glazers. And that's what this is all about. I mean, they're more excited about this than, the FA Cup, and that's kind of where we get these type of results. Next bit of news here, Mauricio Pochettino and PSG. I know you're the number one Poch fan. That's why you put it on here, sir.
I just want to talk about him more.
Playing agreement over departure at the end of the season. Paris Saint-Germain and Mauricio Pochettino are nearing an understanding that they will see the Argentine depart the Parc des Princes at the end of the season. This is according to 90th Minute. Pochettino arrives at PSG in January 2021 and was initially unpopular due to his two-year stint in the French capital during his playing career. However, failure to win League One in his first season added inevitable pressure. While the team are 11 points clear after 22 games this season, Pochettino's spell in Paris continues to look like an unhappy one. His side are struggling for an identity on the pitch, and difficult relationships behind the scenes are causing strain. I mean,
perfect. Sorry, but, oh, that sounds but, perfect. But, no, like he's leaving one PSG and coming to another one. Like, they're
but that's the problem here. You talk about PSG, why they can't win the Champions League, and it's a lot of that. And
it's true. They're not City, dude. I mean, because City haven't even won it, but they're not City.
Well, City is PSG without Pep Guardiola, and so why won't he leave?
That's true.
Like, how come he hasn't left there yet? I mean, that's all I got to say. That's how bad it is. Where I just got to hope he leaves, because once he leaves, they're just like PSG. And then it all falls apart, sir. But, you know, that's just kind of the way this is. Look, I think Poch is the guy. You heard it here. Ed Woodward.
Wow.
Ed Woodward. I want Ten Hag, dude, because Ten Hag's the right choice. He's the guy upcoming. He's the guy who's won stuff. Obviously, it's in Holland, but he's the guy you want to grab. Like the Nagelsmann, these are the guys you got to grab, like Klopp was. You got to be getting Ten Hag.
100%.
Pochettino is coming off of a bad stint here. There's issues at United. He's not the guy to sort it out, dude. He's soft. You look at his record, it's there. But here's the deal. Ed Woodward wanted Pochettino after Mourinho. He was the man. Fergie likes him. Stan Shell has come on the pod, he's told us. And by the way, that baton from Eddie Woodward is going to Richard Arnold, and he's going to come to Manchester United because the diligence, Ferguson, all this stuff, whether Fergie should have the say or not, he does. The club wants Poch. Poch wants United. How could it not happen?
I'm like 98% sure he'll be the next manager. It's
by the way, Rangnick's going to say Ten Hag. Rangnick's going to tell them.
Dude, of course. That's why I know it'll be.
Ignore him, yes. And they're going to hire Poch.
Because I want them to hire Ten Hag. Because Ralph Rangnick wants them to hire Ten Hag. Because it's synergistic with the system Ralph has put in over the last 2 months. It's synergistic with how they want to recruit players. You got to go to freaking Pochettino, bro. It's Bielsa ball. And like, dude, Pochettino will become the next manager of Manchester United. Guarantee. So I'm going to be room for Mauricio Pochettino all fucking day. We're going to Argentina flags. We're eating asadas, drinking mate. But it ain't the right choice. And that is why I am certain that they will make the wrong choice. And you know what? It is what it is. We're going to suffer.
It could work out well. Here's the thing.
It could, but it probably won't.
But given the information you have, you got to make the decision. The decision is you want the up-and-coming manager. You look at how Ajax plays. It's just like he's the man for the job. Pochettino, he kind of did okay at Spurs. Like Pochettino's time to get Pochettino was like a little 3 years ago.
So you want a rising star, not a falling star, right? Like
exactly,
we even got Mourinho exactly. as a falling star. We probably should have got Mourinho earlier.
No. You don't get Mourinho and not back Mourinho.
No, of course not. I agree.
That's the problem. I'm not going to say, obviously, Mourinho hasn't done great, but you don't get Mourinho and don't back him. That's
he won shit, bro.
You don't back LVG.
I'm not slaving. We know what's wrong with Mourinho. They backed LVG. But the point is, this is the obvious Glazer choice. Like, he's a yes man. He won't ask hard questions. This is a reach for him. This is not a job that he deserves, bro. It's like he's going to get pushed out of PSG. He couldn't even win League One when he came in with a fucking lead, and they bottled it. They had to sign Messi and Sergio Ramos, and they signed some really other good players. But
it's hard to get him out of the club. You know, it's like, you know, they're partying at the club on Fridays. It's like hard to get him to come play in the league. You know, they're just playing for the Champions League. You know that, sir. Let's get into fan questions here at JDW300. Absolutely zero reason we should be out of this competition, period. Too many opportunities missed. The penalty, Bruno hit the post, missed handball, and we knew how Pens was going to go. You know, it's 7 of 8, sir. If I bring up the penalty record here for Manchester United, we lost the FA Cup fourth round in obviously today. Then this summer, we lost to Pens to Villarreal.
We did.
Then we did beat Rochdale on penalties in 1920 in the EFL Cup, but then we lost to Derby on
1920.
Penalties.
Did you say 1920?
2019/2020.
Oh, sorry. I was like, well, damn, it's been a while. That's why I reacted that way.
Then we lost to penalties in 2018/2019 to Derby. Then we lost on penalties to Middlesbrough again in the fourth round of the League Cup. In 15-16, then we lost to Sunderland in the League Cup in 13-14. Then we lost to Community Shield on penalties in 2009/10. And then in the FA Cup semifinals, we lost to penalties to Everton. So that's been the streak. You have to go back to, I mean, really, like 08-09 beat penalties in the League Cup final. Tottenham smoked them 4-1. We won the League Cup. Beat Portsmouth in the Community Shield in 08-09, and then obviously big one here, Champions League 2007-2008. I mean, it doesn't.
We won the one you want to win.
I'll tell you what.
We got a bad record.
That's the only
sorry.
One I ever wanted to win.
Yeah, it is.
And I'd sign a deal with the devil to beat Chelsea.
And we did, bro.
In the Champions League final.
Ronaldo fucking missed.
And you know what?
And Terry slipped, bro.
And yeah, you know what? That matters.
That matters, sir. We're not winning shit for 30 years because we had it too good. And that is exactly right. It's like we won one penalty since then, penalty shootout, because we won the most important one, which is that 7-08 one, which is like that game should have been decided and arguably they should have won penalties. But hey.
And Ronaldo missed.
I know, bro. He missed bad. He missed today. He missed today. Sir, fan questions.
That's a huge one, dude.
I know.
That's it. That's the only penalty shootout that matters, my man, honestly. And we won it. So let's just hold on to that. We always have the history. At Mike United Mets, quote, I had a job interview today and I ended up more nervous about the United Borough game. This team is not good for your health, sirs. Wish the lights went out on the pitch instead of the concession stands. Also, as soon as clinicality ends up in the dictionary, I'll add anti-clinicality and put a picture of this game next to it.
That's right. That's right, because that was the opposite of clinicality. The opposite of being clinical is what we did today, sir. Sky in it. Oh, that's painful. Go watch that game again. Would you rather watch this whole game from front to back or Villarreal? And I asked it, and I know the answer is this, because at least we created something. That Villarreal That Villarreal game is hell, bro. You watch that game the rest of your life, that's hell.
The best part about the Villarreal game.
No chances. We created nothing the whole game.
Alex's reaction on the couch when De Gea missed the penalty. It's just dead. It was like that one.
Because we knew they're gonna miss. Dude, we knew that they were gonna lose in penalties. We just knew it because the same reason we knew it today. And this is the problem, is like they need to flip that shit around because sir, what if there could be a big game in the Champions League where we have to win in penalties. We have to like figure this out, or get a goalie that can save a fucking penalty.
Yeah, get a goalie that saves a fucking penalty. Get Tim Krul.
Honestly.
At Marco Nunes 408, quote, I'm good with a complete rebuild starting with the board. I totally agree. And then we're going to end this one on A New Freedom NCL 1, quote, sirs, good evening. Why are we surprised with this result? Burrow slotted every single PK past their number one keeper for penalties. Every single one of us knew that we were screwed when the time was winding down. But here's what I know about Ralph. He makes a mistake once. And this is good news because at the minute, Ralph learns quickly on the job. I'm sick of this we're finished attitude. How are the lads going to get back to the top if we fans are not supporting them? Remember that Portsmouth game. So he's trying to say Ralph does learn quickly on the job. We've talked about that on the last podcast.
He does.
Very pragmatic. You can tell that by the interviews, and he learns on the job. I just have a feeling that there's, like I kind of mentioned it before, the players need some momentum. They need some leadership. And these were tough results. We're a fragile group of players, and this result is going to be really hard. You know, it's like we're two steps forward, one step back as far as the mojo is concerned. Like Rashford starts scoring, then Ronaldo loses it, and then you know, kind of
right? Sancho gets a goal, and then you know, Ronaldo can't score. And like Bruno was fucking amazing today. He created so much, and all he needed to do is score a couple tap-ins because he was incredible, dude. He was like such a good player. He created so many chances today. Pogba, ain't nobody mentioning Pogba, bro. He just like gave the ball away a couple times. Like, but Bruno Fernandes is an unbelievable dude. He's an unbelievable player. So there is positives here, but the problem is we're going to suffer because of the board. But at the end of the day, it's like this is a decent squad. There's a lot of goodness here. And Ralph, you know what? He is going to be fighting behind with two arms behind his back no matter what manager is, even if it was Pep. So why not bring in the crazy German dude? I like this guy because we haven't had honesty since Mourinho, and that was a different type of honesty. So I'm appreciating what we're getting.
Look, sir, you know, this is what the job is of a Manchester United fan, and, you know, a Manchester United podcast, you take that 2x4 to the face, shake it off, we go again. Sir, that's how it has to be.
Yep.
That's how it always is, this great club. We've had lows before. Sir, we've been relegated before. Like, we looked at that. Sir, I think you and me, for everyone listening, we booked the flights. Let's go to the FA Cup final.
Shame on us.
All right.
Shame on us.
And it's gone.
To be fair, to go to Chelsea. We were trying to go to the Chelsea home game, to be fair. And then you realized, why is the game shown on Sunday for the Premier League games? Which is a very good point. Because they don't play Premier League games on Saturday, the day of the FA Cup final. So we were just hopeful that maybe we'd make it. But, sir, of course, we get knocked out first time that we care about it. I care about it. The first time that we have tickets in it. That's just, sir, we should know better. We shouldn't even said anything about the FA Cup because do we know the universe by now? It is perfect.
Yeah.
It's going to punish you.
It really is. But, sir, these moments, look, shake it off. Athletic. What's crazy about this team is that we will not play as bad as we did against Atletico Madrid that we did against Middlesbrough. And when we were under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and we were drowning, like, I'm not saying it's Ole's fault, but when you saw the team in free fall, like, we were getting worse and worse and worse. I don't think we're going to see that. I actually think this team will compete against Atletico. Better, as crazy as that is, I do think we're going to compete against Atletico. I think we're kind of in the struggling patch. I have to think there's been a lot of things that have gone sideways in the locker room with Lingard and Martial and all this stuff. And obviously you have to talk about Greenwood in there as well. And the manager's interim. I think there's a lot of headwinds this team's facing, but I think that we can turn it around and we're going to back the boys, dude. That's how we're going to do it. So, you know, as tough as this one is, pod therapy, on to the next one. Time to beat Burnley, the builders, and we're back, baby. Let's go.
All it takes is a big win against Burnley. And it's like, let's go, baby. Dude, Muppets.
No, it's just FA Cup. We don't care about the FA Cup.
Fuck the FA Cup. You can have it.
Oh, well, I didn't want it. FA Cup. FA Cup. Like 20 times, baby. 20 times. We need another Champions League. You know why we lost the FA Cup? So we weren't focused. We were focused on Champions League.
Excuse factory. We're focused on the Champions League.
We're just trying. Hey, you know, watch. The Glazers are calling down.
We're reaching.
Atletico's going to watch the tape. They're going to watch the Middlesbrough tape.
They got a good keeper, bro. Watch the Middlesbrough game.
It's all a conspiracy, sir. We're just going to try to convince them we're bad, and we're going to come out and kill them and win the Champions League. That's how we're going to do it. All right. If you like the American Red Devils and all the Muppetry we're talking about, hashtag pod therapy. We are for fans, by fans. Join our Discord. Great community there. Also support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store, grab some merch, support us, have a laugh. That's what this is all about, sir. Write a review on iTunes. It goes a long way. Alex, can you give me our top 10 cities last 7 days?
You bet. I am ready to rock. Number one, how you doing? Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Number two, Oslo, Norway. Brookshire, Texas. Plano, Texas. Floral Park, New York. Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Ormond Beach, Florida, Georgetown, Indiana, Jacksonville, Florida. A lot of Florida on the board. Appreciate you. And last but not least, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out, sir. Sorry that we didn't show up today. Sorry we didn't show up because I wanted to show up. I wanted to get a big win. But it's on to the next one. Big game against Burnley the Builders, I believe, on Tuesday. And it's going to be a big one. Turf Mordor. Not going to be easy.
Pod never sleeps. We got a big run of fixtures. We'll be here the whole way. That's what the American Devils are all about. Having a laugh, having a cry, having a dark ale. We're going to leave you with a banger, sir. This one is it's a sad day. Some sad songs. For, you know, help us get us through these tough times. On to Burnley.
On to Burnley. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a blue one, a sad one. Here we go.
Worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. The tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very bad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Child should sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. The people run in circles, it's a very, very big.